Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I am your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. They say that this presidential campaign has been about everything except the issues. And, well, there's probably some truth to that. There's been a lot of mudslinging going around. And obviously, with the weird implosion that is Donald Trump, that is understandable. This is an unusual candidate in an unusual race. But many people still vote on the issues. Many times it is the issues that helps people decide who to vote for. I have Republican friends that say, well, you know, Donald Trump is a little bit mentally unstable, but hey, I care about the United States Supreme Court, and that's why I'm voting for him. And certainly, whether the issue is taxes or entitlement spending or abortion or gay rights or guns or schools or transportation, whatever your issues are, the candidates, or at least Hillary Clinton, has stated a position on the issues. On some of these issues, Donald Trump's been all over the map. Well, I have my positions too, not just because I am an elected official, a Virginia state delegate, a state representative to all you folks who live in places where your state houses are called House of Representatives. Ours is called the House of Delegates here in Virginia. But so today, I want to largely base the show on you. I want to know what your issues are. Particularly your federal issues, though heck, if you live in Virginia, you want to give me a state issue, that's okay with me too. But I want to talk about where Hillary Clinton stands, where Donald Trump stands, where the Republican Party stands, where the Democratic Party stands, where I stand, because sometimes, let's face it, I differ from many people in my party, and where you stand. Today, let's talk about the issues. I think it's important, frankly, that there be a time when we are focused on the issues. So I'm going to go out early and give you time to call in. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Call in on any issue you care about. Like I said, could be the Supreme Court, could be abortion, could be gun laws, could be your views on foreign policy, for example, where I think Obama and Hillary and Donald and I may have very different views. Let me know what you care about, and we'll talk about it in the context of this presidential election and your vote. This is Mark Levine, right back with your calls, 888-488-6275, right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. For all the talk about the character of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and all the nastiness thrown around, sometimes the issues get ignored. And I do think character is important. I am not saying it's not. I do think these other issues matter. I've talked about these issues at length, but not today. Today, The issue is not the individuals, but their positions on the issues. Whatever concerns you, could be the economy, could be education, could be the Supreme Court, could be foreign policy. Let's talk your issues. I'll give you what I believe and what I understand the two candidates for president to believe. So got a lot of callers on the line. Terrific. We'll get to each and every one of you. Let's start with Dave in Portland, Oregon on line two. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Hey, doing Mark?
I'm doing good. Tell me what your issues are that you care most about and what you want to see in this presidential election.
Well, my issues, I primarily have two main issues, and that is election reform, and that is taking money out of the elections as much as possible. And the other thing is income inequality, because I believe that if we could deal with the issue of income inequality, that would go a long way in solving many of our economic problems.
Okay, those are two big issues. Let's take them one by one. Let's start with election reform. As you see it, the biggest problem with elections is money in our system. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay. How would you feel about public funding of elections?
Oh, I'm for it. Definitely.
Okay.
For it.
That's something I support too. And I think you'll find it's something that Democrats across the nation support. I'm not quite sure Hillary Clinton's position on it. Actually, it'd be interesting to go to her website. I haven't done it and looked up specifically the question of public financing. I do know this, though. Hillary Clinton is a strong opponent of the Citizens United decision. That was, I know you know this, Dave, but maybe some people don't. It was the Supreme Court decision a couple years ago that allows for unlimited money from private for-profit corporations to funnel into our system. It's the reason why certain people, like the Koch brothers, for example, can give hundreds of millions of dollars, and there used to be limitations. In fact, even John McCain used to support limitations on how much you could give, and now there's all this dark money and super PAC money. I do think that overturning Citizens United, which basically said free speech allows rich people to have a billion times more impact than someone who gives $1, I don't think that is free speech. I don't think money is speech. If someone wants to, put up their TV station or whatever in their own name without secret anonymous money, that's one thing. But I don't think just giving money is free speech. And I think there can be campaign limits because of corruption. So I think overturning Citizens United would go a long way. I have no doubt that justices appointed by Hillary Clinton would do that. And I also have no doubt that any justice appointed by Donald Trump would not. I mean, he has said he wants justices in the nature of Antonin Scalia, who was a strong supporter of Citizens United. And the Democrats, Republicans, and this is important for down ballot races too, almost 2-1 disagree on this issue. Democrats want to cut back on money in politics, and Republicans want to increase the power of a few people to spend money to control our elections. Now, I know some people complain, well, what about Hillary Clinton getting all this money? And my response to that is that's the current system. And sometimes you have to play by the current system, even if you disagree with it. And my prime example for that is Russ Feingold, the former senator from Wisconsin who's now running again to take his seat back. He, 6 years ago, did something extraordinary in American politics. He said he would not take money more than, I think it was $100, from any individual person. He rejected all kind of outside financing because he strongly believes in this kind of election reform. And he was grossly underfunded, and he lost his race 6 years ago by a couple points. Now Feingold isn't following that rule, and I support him because I think you have to play by the current system in order to beat the old one. So I do think on that issue, you should be with the Democrats. I don't know if you agree with me on that, but what do you think? Just on election reform.
Oh, without a doubt.
Okay. Let's get to income inequality. Now, how would you phrase that? Is it union support? Is it minimum wage laws? Is it family medical leave? How manufacturing? How do you see? Because that's a big issue, income inequality. Tax on the rich. Where do you see is the heart of your how you would address that?
Well, I would roll all of those things into it. Basically, our economy is driven. Well, economy, if you think about it, is really defined as an exchange of money. And if you don't have money moving around, you don't have an economy. So the problem we have now is we don't have people at the bottom, the consumers in our country, that have enough money to consume. You know, I always hear these people talk about job creators. Well, nobody creates a job for somebody to do nothing.
That's true.
You know, a rich man doesn't give a poor man a job just for him to sit there. He hires him to do something. And the reason he hires him to do something is because there is demand. So the only way you can have demand is if you get money to those people who are more likely to pump money into the economy.
Dave,
and if you give money to the wealthy, it's just not going to happen.
Dave, I could just leave my seat right now and let you have the show, because I have said exactly that, 50, 100 times on TV and on radio. There's actually an economist name for it. It's called the marginal propensity to consume. And it basically, it's exactly what you say. If you have millions and millions of dollars and someone gives you $100,000 more, that's just an item in your bank account. You barely even notice. That's just an entry. But if you've got, $20,000 to your name and someone gives you $10,000 more, a tenth of that, boy, that's enough to pay your rent. That's enough to get another down payment on a car so that you can get a second car and drive, both members of a couple to work. That's enough to maybe afford to get your kid into college with less student loans. That's real money that is put to work. So the simple answer is, if you're poor, giving $1 million to a millionaire does very little. Giving $10,000 payments to 100 people, that really helps our economy. And it's why economists believe that we should tax richer people at a higher rate than we tax poorer people. And that's why the flat tax, frankly, would do great damage to our economy. So, Dave, I couldn't agree with you more. You've said exactly as I would, and I want to thank you for calling in and sharing your wisdom with us.
Oh, sure, no problem.
All right, let's go to Max in Charlotte, North Carolina, on line one. North Carolina, of course, is a very important swing state this year. Max, you're a very important voter. What are your issues?
My issue is, I've been employed for at least 30 years without being unemployed. But at one time, we had 157 employees, and I'm not kidding, we're down to less than 30. Okay.
And is this a manufacturing plant? Tell me, what is it? Manufacturing? Is this a manufacturing plant of some kind?
Yes, we're a manufacturing company, and we're actually from California, and we moved out here some 20 years ago.
Probably to save money on labor costs, I would suspect.
Yeah, we noticed that last month manufacturing in the United States dropped 5%, and the month before that, we noticed that it dropped 5% too. I went to Hillary Clinton's her 100 plan. I read what she said about manufacturing, and the thing is that Donald Trump said the same thing too. The problem that I see is that a lot of people in the United States cannot purchase what we in the United States manufacture over here. Most of the stuff that we sell abroad, or you have to be pretty wealthy. And I'm talking about making over at least $150,000 a year to buy something from us.
Max, if you don't mind my asking, what do you sell? You don't have to be too specific.
I can tell you one thing that I do, Steph, that I do. I restore 12-meter sailboats.
Okay.
And that's about a $500,000 boat.
Okay.
And they're old, and I've been restoring them. I think that, I've been working on them since 85. And restoring them since 2000. That's what actually saved us, restoring them.
What kept
our company going.
Let's talk about sailboats. So sailboats is obviously a more of a luxury item. You don't need a sailboat to get to work or to feed your kids. It's something that requires, frankly, a good middle class, right? Because
and then all the other boats. But the problem that conservatives and liberals, which I am a liberal, what they say when I read the magazines, and they say what the big problems are, what they see is that the people that graduate from colleges, that they're so much in debt that they could only afford to buy that, $200,000 or $300,000 home, and they got to pay their loan down.
Bingo.
So they can't afford
Affordability of college would make a major difference, and that's something
they can't afford. They can't afford to buy their first boat, so that right there puts the boating industry in really bad shape. But the problem with it is that we do not see any candidate really doing anything about it. But more than that, even if Hillary Clinton tried to say that she's doing something that Bernie Sanders was going to do, you know, that we just look at her and we say that, and I'm talking about everybody in our company, we look at her and we say she's lying. Okay.
Well, that's a very strong term, lying. Do you don't think that Hillary has sympathy for middle-class people? I mean, her father was a drapery guy. I mean, he made draperies. I don't see that. It's a little less expensive than sailboats, but I think Hillary really looks out for small business.
One of the guys at my work, he brought some YouTube clips of Hillary and Bernie. So you watch Bernie talking, and then you watch Hillary talking, and she says her is no, and then into she sees the polls move, and then you can watch it on YouTube too. You just put Bernie and Hillary in.
I know enough about YouTube to know that a lot of it is selectively edited. But I can tell you this about Hillary Clinton. It's interesting because...
But that's her words out of her mouth, though.
Well, but you'd have to see the full context. I mean, I've had words out of my mouth where they cut me off right after I say something before I say the next sentence. But I don't know those clips, but I can tell you this. There are two sides to free trade. And I think that sometimes some Bernie supporters or maybe even some Trump supporters think there's no benefit at all to free trade. Okay, I think that free trade is a much more complex issue than that, and I think there is some benefit. For example, I don't know how many boats that you sell or repair for people who are abroad. Do you?
I actually do, but we actually do not sell the boats. What we sell, like a 12-meter, we would restore it. So everything that goes on a boat,
right,
that we'll sell that. We'll sell whatever goes on a boat. We'll sell you parts. We'll sell you your sailboats only.
And some of those you buy from abroad, right? I mean, you don't buy all the parts in America.
The majority of them go abroad because of the American...
So here's my point. So trade deals are not always a bad thing. It actually helps your industry to be able to buy parts cheap and to sell parts cheap. My view about trade deals, let me just make my point, and then we're going to have to take a break, and then I'll give you full time when we come back, all right? But my point is that when I have no problem with trade deals between us and advanced economies, between us and Canada or Europe or Japan or South Korea, because particularly democratic places where people aren't being misused, you don't have slave labor, because we can compete on an even keel. And if Japan makes something better than we can, well, we should just learn to compete better and let the best price win. My concern with trade deals is when we compete with countries that, like Vietnam, for example, which is in the TPP, which is why I oppose the TPP, which are dictatorships where people work on less than a dollar a day, because I think those undercut American labor. So I'm not anti-trade deals writ large, as I think some on the far left and far right are, nor am I pro every trade deal, as I think establishment Republicans are. My view, and I think it's close to Hillary Clinton's view, is it depends on the deal. That free trade is not necessarily a bad thing. It depends on the nature of the deal. And if there's a deal that protects American workers and still allows us to sell goods abroad and buy goods abroad, that's a good deal. So I wouldn't end the TPP. I would change the TPP to make it fairer to American workers. I'll give you more of a chance to speak, Max, I promise, right after this break. Folks, call in with your issues at 888-488-6275. Back after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We're talking about issues today. namely, specifically, what you care about, what you'll be voting on this presidential election. I'll give you my views, and to the extent I can, Hillary's and Donald Trump's views, and obviously I want to hear your views as well. I've been talking with Max from Charlotte, North Carolina, a very important swing state this year, Max, your vote really matters, about some of the loss of manufacturing jobs. No question that's occurring in America. He has a plant that restores sailboats, and he was talking to me about trade deals. I promised I would give you time after the break. Here's your time, Max. Go ahead.
So the layoffs, they've been over 10 years, okay? So, and other people, I mean, they moved out of state and stuff, just like I'm from California. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they basically, some of them are still around, but they're doing mediocre jobs. And what I was reading in a report is that a lot of these people, including my buddies, you know, they're losing their skills. They lost their skills, you know, and so even if we brought manufacturing back, a lot of them wouldn't be able to do, and then they're a lot older too, they wouldn't be able to do what they were doing before. And we just see our company just basically fading away because of that.
Let me say this. Some of this is beyond the power of any presidential candidate to do that much about. Some of this is long-term change. I think America is changing from a manufacturing economy to a services economy. And when people say, well, that's horrible, I remind them that the old village blacksmith, the guy that used to make horseshoes, when the horseless carriage, otherwise known as the automobile or the car, became quite popular, blacksmiths all across the country lost their jobs. There just wasn't the demand for horseshoes that there used to be. And it was sad, and there were all kinds of poems written about elegies to the village blacksmith, but it just, with technology, things change. So I'm not saying manufacturing is dead in America or anything like it, but I think a slow and steady decline has been going on for decades, and I think that's going to continue. And I just want to be very honest with you, because I think that sometimes we don't want to believe something that's right before our eyes, and I don't think that was caused by Obama or Bush or Bill Clinton or Ronald Reagan or any of them. I think it's just kind of the more advanced economy you get, the less likely you're going to have low-skilled jobs and the more likely you're going to have high-skilled services jobs. We have automation and things like that. So I do think it's part of a natural trend, and I just want to know if you agree with me on that in general.
I do, but the thing is that when Trump and Hillary, both of them say that they're going to be bringing back manufacturing jobs, you know, what kind of manufacturing jobs are they going to be bringing back? Because, like I say, most people do not have the skills anymore. They're up in age. They can't do them. So, you know, neither one of them will state what exactly they're going to do.
Well, I'll tell you what.
They're going to be. They're lying to us.
Well, no, hold on. So, let me read to you from Hillary Clinton's website on manufacturing, okay? And you can tell me what you think. All right, she writes, as president, Hillary will strengthen American manufacturing through a $10 billion investment in Made It in America partnerships that bring together workers and labor, business, universities, community colleges, and government at every level to harness the strength of manufacturing communities across America. Businesses that take part will pledge not to shift jobs or profits from these partnerships overseas. There'll be strong Made in America standards. She'll prevent countries like China from abusing global trade rules, reject trade agreements that don't meet high standards, strengthen trade enforcement to stop like what China's doing with steel. She'll say no to trade deals like TPP that don't meet her high standard of raising wages, creating good-paying jobs. She said she wants to revitalize the hardest-hit manufacturing communities by creating tax incentives to encourage investment in these communities, those that are facing manufacturing job losses, cracking down on companies that ship jobs and earning overseas, investing in the workforce with apprenticeships and training. That has something to do with what you were talking about, making people so they understand the skills that they need. Things like renewable energy and other things to strengthen our long-run competitiveness. Does that sound good to you or bad, or you don't believe her, or what?
Okay, what it sounds like, what she's saying, it sounds like what Bush was trying to do, and then Obama. You know, but the thing is, like I say, I've been in manufacturing all my life. So basically, that what they were saying is that they need to look towards the future and see how we could change to make business better. You know, what's the future? What's the future jobs? And move in that direction. And none of them are talking about it. And none of them are talking about it because they have no idea.
Well, that's the big problem. I just read to you what Hillary Clinton... Max, I just read to you what Hillary Clinton said she would do. So she is talking
about...
I
know what you said, but I'm saying that Bush, the one who took us to war, he tried that. He tried that at these colleges over here, which they really do. They really built these colleges up. They really look nice, but they're not teaching what is the future. They're teaching cooking and stuff like that, and dentists and nurses and stuff like that. But the future jobs, they're not teaching them because the people, they just say, go ahead and do that, but they don't have a real plan.
Well, let's talk about future jobs. Let me give you two examples of future jobs. All right. One, I think we can all agree that computers, technology, engineering, STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, that's the future. I think we can also agree that green energy is the future. And those are things that Hillary Clinton says she's going to invest in. I don't remember George Bush talking about those specific things. If you remember it, you know, then.
Actually, one of the our competitor that is up in Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. I do not support Bush or anything, mm-hmm. but when he was in office, that's actually when those green jobs actually started, and it's called. It has to do with wave. Turning to generate electricity, and I can't. It's tidal something.
I don't know. Is it geothermal energy?
Creating energy underneath.
Let me say this:
turbines underneath the ocean to create energy in that way.
Okay.
And they actually sold quite a few of them, like over 200 of them, to Korea. So they, you know,
okay.
That right there.
But here's my point, Max. We are facing in the United States. For decades, a change in our manufacturing infrastructure. I mean, there are not too many big auto plants where people go in and work on the assembly line anymore. That's what made a lot of people wealthy, and they were good union jobs, and they occurred in the 1950s and 60s. And a lot of times this is automation that's taking these, and sometimes you've got, and I do think Hillary will fight this, you've got companies moving abroad to get cheaper labor costs. But you're absolutely right. We need a more informed workforce because computer coding is quite a skill. I have a nephew who's an engineer. He's an electrical engineer, and he has a very, very good understanding of computers and how to design them and create them. And let me tell you, when he got out of college, people were fighting to get him a job. And frankly, there's a shortage of jobs, and he's doing very well. Thank you very much. You're absolutely right. We have to retrain our workforce, and it's going to require higher skills because our competition is Germany and Japan. It's not, Mexico and Vietnam and other, you know, low skill. We don't want our workers earning a dollar a day. So I think there's this overall trend in that direction. I do think Hillary Clinton will help in that regard. I'll give you a plan that I have in Virginia, and that's to increase broadband access, internet access in rural areas because we don't have enough of that. They have to use satellites and so forth, and that will help just like 50 years ago it helped to give them electricity and water. But I think – I want to be clear. I think Hillary can help stem the tide somewhat. But she's not going to stop the overall trend. I'm just going to be honest with you. It happened under Bush. It's been happening really since the 70s, and I don't think it's going to change. And I think that anyone who tells you that they're going to, you know, end the slow decrease in manufacturing year to year in America and you know, double it or something, I think they're dreaming. And that's why I think Hillary Clinton's suggestions are realistic. She's not promising you the sky and the moon. She's promising you things that she can realistically do. And I don't see that she's lying. I think her plans are a modest step forward, don't you?
You know what? I looked it up right now, and it's wave and tidal energy technology.
Okay.
You know, and that right there, to me, it could be the future in a big way.
Okay.
You know, but our government does not help much of it, you know, other than
Max,
what Mr.
Do you know who your member of Congress is?
Oh, excuse me?
Do you know who your member of Congress is?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay.
I have actually spoke to them.
Good. I can tell you, write your member of Congress, write to your senators, ask them if they would support this. You've got a very hot senatorial race right now in North Carolina. Ask both candidates if they would support this, see how they respond to you, and make your choices accordingly. All right, because this is something we need government to work on.
I normally do that, but they normally lie to you, and then once.
Well, don't assume someone's lying to you until proven it, Chris.
I'm serious. Basically, Max, the last one we had, we wanted him to make Kevlar for, and we told them how to do it because we know how to do it, and we told them how they could do it. And they refused to do it. And his name was Robert. I forget what the senator was, but we were able
to
get rid of.
Well, find out who it was and vote the person out of office. And that's how democracy works.
Do you know how long that took? And how much energy it took us to get rid of that record?
Well, you know what? You got to. That's part of.
Over by then.
I got to take a break. But Max, part of running a democracy, and we the people are in charge, right? You and me and everybody else, is holding our elected officials accountable. And if they make you a promise and they don't keep them, vote them out. And here's your chance in 2 weeks to do just that. And so don't give up hope. Don't think they're all liars. But if someone is not telling you the truth, vote them out of office. That's your right and responsibility as an American citizen. Thanks for your call. We'll get to Chris from Albuquerque next, and your call at 888-488-6275 right after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. I'll get to my callers, Chris and Maria, in just 1 second. I do want to respond to a comment on Facebook. And by the way, I am now every show doing this on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/MarkLevineTalk and you can watch me as well as listen to me. There is someone who says that I've been unfair to Vietnamese people. The Vietnamese people are talented, hardworking, and love America despite the war and the harm there, that we owe them to play a place in modern economy. They're not a dictatorship. They are a one-party country, but for the most part rejected communism. Look, please don't think of this as anti-Vietnamese, you may, but my position on trade, it holds for really any country that doesn't have when we trade with countries that undercut American workers, and I know you say it's a one-party country, well, a dictatorship allows people to be significantly poorer than in a democracy. And frankly, I think it's an encouragement to countries to join democratic ideals, to say, well, we only do trade deals with democracies. I do think that one of the reasons to be opposed to TPP is people are worried about countries like Vietnam. And I don't mean to attack Vietnam specifically. I think the same could be true for Bangladesh or Burma, other countries where workers are mistreated. In fact, you could argue, to some extent, it's true with China. China is a dictatorship, and the people there work on very cheap labor, and maybe we should – that's why we should be harsher against China than, say, Japan. So I hope you don't think I'm being anti-Vietnamese specific. I do think, though, that they undercut our trade deals. But thank you for writing in on my Facebook page. All right, Chris from Albuquerque has been holding on a long time. Line two, go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Mark, thanks for taking my call. I called the previous program, the Tom Hartman Show. I had a couple different thoughts. You know, we need people like you, you know, and I'm grateful for the airwaves. Corporate media, it's a big problem. I'm a Bernie supporter. He was my candidate. I'm going to vote for Hillary. But both Democrats and, you know, Republicans, they need to be held accountable, and they need to justifiably represent, the people. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
I'm driving out here to a visit. I serve as a case manager for individuals with disabilities here in the state of New Mexico. It's a state-run program. It's federally matched. But, you know, I mean, we, and it's unfortunate that we have somebody like, you know, I mean, Susana Martinez, she's a Republican. She had a sister with disabilities. I'm driving out here to, you know, to a Native American reservation. And, you know, what's somebody like, you know, the person that I'm representing, that I'm serving, what are they supposed to do, you know, other than rely on, you know, taxpayer money for a program, you know, like the one we've got? I've got to jump through hoop.
You know,
hoop,
Chris,
after hoop, Mark,
I got to tell you, a lot of this is just heart. It's just heart. Do we believe that disabled Americans should have the same opportunities as any other American? And I have to tell you, there were Republicans that used to believe that. George Bush Sr. actually got passed with a Democratic Congress the Americans for Disabilities Act. But what you find too much today, and I think this is a basic philosophical difference, is Democrats believe that every life matters. I don't mean to in any way take away from Black Lives Matter, but disabled lives matter, and we should do what we can as a country to integrate everyone in our country. And I think too many Republicans are just willing to say these people are not productive enough. We write them off, like in Sparta, where they left the babies who weren't fit enough on the mountaintop to die. I don't think Republicans truly believe that all men and women are created equal in America. I don't think that's in their heart. They may say it, but they don't believe in the same opportunities. And it does cost some money. And there are lots of Republicans that say, I don't want my taxes going up so that some disabled person can be a part of our society. Whereas I think a progressive says, yeah, of course they're part of our society. They're human beings. And so I just think we have this basic philosophical difference. And obviously I'm on your side, but I got to be honest with you. It's out there.
Can I, so, you know, it's a great program, you know, and I know a while back you talked about getting into Hillary's ear.
Yeah.
$15 minimum wage, living wage is a must. I like Bernie because he would have, I think one of the priorities would have been to overturn Citizens United.
Well, Hillary has the same priority about Citizens United. She's the same on that issue. On the minimum wage, let me just answer your question real quickly because then I got to get to one more caller. Hillary has supported a $12 minimum wage, and she has said that localities like New York and other places where wages, you need higher wages, should absolutely be able to go higher than that. I think it is a matter of getting it through this Congress, particularly if the House of Representatives is controlled by Republicans. That may be the best compromise that you can get. And I think that Hillary knows how to get a compromise through. But I want to thank you for your call. Sorry to cut you off, but I do want to give Maria Phoenix from Phoenix on line three just a couple minutes, which is all we have left. Go ahead, Maria.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I usually don't call radio stations, so bear with me.
Okay.
Because I was listening while you were talking to the guy who's talking about the boat
right.
and stuff like that.
Right.
And I was just going to blow a gasket because
okay.
number one, regardless of how you whatever you told him, which is very clear, he still considers, Hillary or Trump a liar. You know, it's like these people just don't want to listen. I have a problem with people who have supported Bernie because don't get me wrong, I like Bernie, and if Bernie would have won the primaries, I would have supported him too.
Yeah, me too.
But what pisses me off is that these people are not paying attention to the bottom line. Bottom line is, if you don't go out and vote, you get Trump. Number one. Number two, if you go out and you vote for Hillary, guess what happens? You get Bernie and Elizabeth Warren.
That's true.
Holding her to the fire.
And they should.
But a progressive movement.
Right.
And these people don't freaking listen.
And you got to vote down ballot. Because Hillary can't do it alone. She's not a dictator. Donald Trump acts like he is. But we need a Democratic Congress. We need a Democratic Senate. We need a Democratic House of Representatives. And people would say, well, the House of Representatives is so gerrymandered. And that's true. But to change that, you need Democratic state legislators. So you got to vote
totally
up and down the
that.
Ballot
I
blue.
I totally agree.
Because if you do, and if you
I
don't
totally
vote.
I totally agree with you on
right.
that. And then, you know, as far as the Republicans with getting stuck with Trump, this is the hell that they brought on themselves.
That's for sure.
Because if you remember when Obama was was coming into the presidency, you know, some of the Republicans got together and said, hey, you know what? we're not going to give Obama anything.
Right.
And with that, people who are racist and don't want to listen.
I hear you, Maria. I really hate to cut you off, but it's the end of the show. Call back earlier next time, Maria. I'll be on the air Monday. I'd love to have you back because you're a great caller. Thank you, everyone, for calling today. And it's just 2 weeks from yesterday to Election Day. Don't forget to vote. This is Mark Levine. Be back with you on Monday.